Thank you, Jesus, that today we see answered prayer. Just like Perry being here today, that's an answer to prayer. For others to look at one another, we've come a long ways at Life Point from just a few to what we have today. Lord, this would have been a crowd 10 years ago. So, Lord, I don't take it for granted. I know you've blessed us. We'll soon see others come back. But, Lord, today's the day of salvation, you tell us in the Bible. So if we hear his voice, harden not your heart. So, Lord, you speak to hearts and win them to yourself for salvation. Then you speak to us sometimes just wanting a closer walk. May you give us that desire to want to walk closer to you, see you clearer than we've ever done before. Lord, help us to trust, help us to have the faith that will move mountains, you tell us. If we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, we could see a mountain move. So, Lord, I know our faith is not quite what we can move a mountain, but, Lord, our faith can carry us through daily. So give us today our daily bread. And here on the Lord's Day, may we listen well and learn from these things in the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need a Bible, Mark can get you one. If you don't, that's fine too. But just if you raise your hand, if you want a Bible. Sorry, I'm getting in between here. So we are going to remind you of some things. I don't know. It is... long, long time ago, back in January, can you think about it? January? We began this 6 months ago. 6 months. So it's been a while. Thank you, Mark. Everybody got a Bible? That's good. All right. Turn to Joshua. Joshua. I'll get you turned to Joshua and we'll do this. For the past 6 months, beginning in January, we started learning the Old Testament by memorizing some main points, by using hand motions. Hopefully you know the Old Testament a lot better than you used to. I pray that these first five books are more familiar to you now. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and a little bit into Joshua. And, you know, not that we're wrapping it up, I might even go into Judges, but for the hand motions, I don't know what all you, Chris, you want to help me out here because I need my hands for the motions. So, a map of the Holy Land. How many people remember the map of the Holy Land? It went something like this. North, south, east, west, land of Palestine, 50 miles wide, 200 miles long, Mediterranean Sea, Cyprus. That's that little island. Then Sea of Galilee, Muddy Jordan River, take off your hat and look sad, Dead Sea, Red Sea, Sinai Peninsula, Mount Sinai. Over there is Egypt, and here's Mesopotamia. There's your map, and you see that map in the Bible. Those are the last few pages in it, and a lot of times you'll think, oh, do I remember these places? That way when you read, say, oh, wait, we're at Mount Sinai. By the way, what did Moses get at Mount Sinai? Is that where he got the Ten Commandments? Right here's the Red Sea that they parted. God parted. And then later, even in the New Testament, you'll read about Paul and Barnabas going out to the island of Cyprus. So you get an idea of here's Sea of Galilee. Jesus walks on some water. He was baptized in the Jordan River. Yeah, and the lowest point on the planet is right there in the Dead Sea. You know, you go up to Catawba Mountain, that's 2,000 foot above sea level. That's a 2,000 foot mountain. Of course, 2,000 foot's a lot to us. You go out to Pikes Peak where Andy is, try 14,000 feet. So we got seven Catawba Mountains on top of each other. This one, believe it or not, is around 1,200 to 1,500 below sea level. So if you went to 2,000 foot of Catawba Mountain, got ground level, and just kept on digging downward, you almost go the opposite direction that way. So that's a low point on Earth. All right, Chris, we got our map down. Here's creation. You ready? Let's fly right through this. Creation, 6 days of creation. First day, God created what? Light, darkness. Second day, he created the heavens. Third day, he created land, seas, vegetation. Fourth day, he created sun, moon, and the stars. Fifth day, he created fishes. And sixth day, he created beast, cattle, creeping things, and man. Seventh day, God rested. So there is creation. So go right through that one. Here's creation. 6 days of creation, there's the days. Anybody, you remember those? All right. What's after creation? Remember the picture of somebody coming up and Your knees going in. Fall of man. Raise your pants leg. Flood. Noah. That's why I'm shaking my head. No. Noah. Three sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. 40 days and 40 nights. For some reason, 40's got a significant thing in the Bible. I don't know. You know, just remember, it'll show up again. 40 days and 40 nights. Mark, pick up a rat and air him out. Mount Ararat. That's where the ark landed. Mount Ararat. Tower of Babel. And what? Abraham, there's our Abraham, covenant, three things, people, place, prosperity, two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac had two sons and they were twins, smooth skin, Jacob, Esau. Jacob had 12 sons, one daughter, her name was Dinah. Favorite son, pull out them suspenders, Joseph. He was sold into slavery, rose to second in command, brought his family into Egypt. Slavery in Egypt for 430 years. There's the book of Genesis. Wasn't that pretty easy to memorize? So you say, well, do we cover everything? I mean, I can't cover every little detail, but that sure puts some handles on it. That's so then, since they're in slavery for 430 years, God raises up a leader, stroke the beard, plant the staff, Moses. Moses. And then we want to sign the adoption page. Moses adopted, Moses murdered, Moses ran. God called Moses at the burning bush. So we click a lighter right here in a burning bush. That's what Greg on. Greg, I give him credit. He thought of all these things. That's why I taught him at Roanoke Valley. Greg wanted to do a walk through the Bible. He calls his footers and foundations. You ready? Adoption of Moses. Moses murdered. Moses ran. God called Moses at the burning bush. Confrontation with Pharaoh. Pharaoh's not. What did. Now I'm going to cover something right here. And we might. I haven't argued with people, but on the same end, it does sound like a debating point. Chris, I don't know if you've ever heard this before. Some people believe that God just didn't give Pharaoh a chance. You know, he hardened his heart, and you say, well, see, God hardens it. I want you to know that the first time Moses went to Pharaoh, he shows up and he says, God's told me to tell you to let my people go. Pharaoh said, who is this God that I obey him? Who are you? You don't, bottom line, you don't tell me what to do. I'm Pharaoh. I think he said no to God right there. Now, the next time Moses and Aaron shows up, God does. It says he hardens his heart. He's going to use Pharaoh as a lesson. You know. So from then on, God has to, you know, he's working on Pharaoh. Did Pharaoh have a chance to respond to God? Yes. He said no right in his face. You don't tell me what to do, God. Okay, that's fine. How many chances does God have to give us, really? He didn't have to give us any chances. If he gives you one. But we just, anybody ever said no to God? Raise your hand, tell the truth. Absolutely, I have too. You look back, I remember as a little kid, I'm sitting there, you'd see people with white knuckles on the pew. I'm not going for, they're just fighting and some people just fail. If God touches your heart, you're just gone. Really? King Agrippa said to Paul, almost you persuade me to become a Christian, but nah, not today. Wow, people say no to God, and God says, I've given you a chance. I think he gave Pharaoh a chance. Confrontation with Pharaoh, now he's going to convince him that he should have said yes. Confrontation with Pharaoh, 10 plagues. First plague, water to blood. Second plague, frogs. Third plague, lice. Fourth plague, flies. Fifth plague, death of the cattle. You'd think that got his attention. Sixth plague, boils. You ever had that? Remember when you were about teenagers, it would be on your face, you know? How about having them all over your face and big old boils that you might even have to lance? Ugh. Seventh plague, raise up umbrella, thunder and hail. Eighth plague, locust. Locust wore a leather girdle. Ninth plague, thick darkness. Couldn't even see. Tenth plague, death of the firstborn. After that, Pharaoh says, okay, you can go. Really? Your son had to die to get your attention. Yeah, it's like, so finally you turn the doorknob, exit from Egypt, and they leave Egypt. And God leads them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And then Mount Sinai. Remember this over here? Mount Sinai. Come up to Mount Sinai, and there's where they got the Ten Commandments. God says, let's set down some rules here. We're going to give you 10 commandments, 10 rules. Can you imagine these rules? Chris, you go to summer camp, and I come up as your counselor and say, no, Chris, you can't kill anybody. God, can't steal, can't lie. You know, that's just taking away all their fun. So the 10 commandments, no, this is no other gods before me. God says, I get to be first. No Don't put God in a box. No idols. Third commandment. This is pretty strict too. Don't take God's name in vain. I know I'm pretty... Sometimes say, good God. I just don't like that. I mean, maybe that's just me. Or I should say, yes, He is. And you keep going. But they say it. And I hate it when people say, it just goes all over me for some reason. I don't know. I just don't use His name as a curse name. So, no, you don't take His Lord's name in vain. Fourth commandment. What? Remember, so God says the first four commandments, just remember this. So we say 10 commandments. We pointed our heart, moral law. I left that out a minute ago. Moral law, and you put your arm around an imaginary friend, social law. The moral law, the first four commandments go to God. That's vertical. You stay in fellowship with God. Now the last six commandments, they're going to go to the social law. We're going to get along with each other. So after we've honored God, no graven images, don't take your name in vain, remember the Sabbath. The first commandment with the promise, fifth commandment. Honor, you see that in the movies. Honor your father and your mother. That's cool. They go at the top of the list too, right? And now he gets to us. Now the last five, we just sort of shake our finger about every time. No, don't kill. No, don't commit adultery. See, we're together and then we part. Don't commit adultery. And then don't put it behind you. Don't steal. And then no, what? How do you show? No, put it right here. Don't lie. And then the last one, don't what? We take our fingers and put it right here. Why? Because those things we want them in our heart before we take them. Sort of like we plan out a robbery. Don't covet. Finally, idolatry, bow down at Mount Sinai. And boy, that was Moses come back down, ground up. He just had got the commandments, and then they break them all. All right, Chris. And then we go into these. Scoop up the manna. God feeds them. Even though they disobey Him, we scoop up the manna. God sends manna. And then after He sends manna, look, building of the tabernacle. They built the tabernacle. That was the first time they really worshiped God. They came up with this tent, and that was just moving the tent through the desert. So church is important. God says, even if we're going around in a desert, I want you to worship Me. And it's more than just bowing down at your... I want to have a main place, and that's called a tabernacle. Whew. So God sends manna, building of the tabernacle, and that took care of Genesis and Exodus. Leviticus is very short for their book. Hold up your L hand, Leviticus. Right there it is, Leviticus. And the theme is worship. The key is holiness. And then look what it is. Seven feasts, five offerings. And that took care of Leviticus. A lot of laws in there. Why? I don't know. You'll have to ask God when you see Him in heaven one day. Why? I think He just has to keep reiterating. The more you're close to your mom or dad growing up, how many laws do they have? They have less as the closer you get to them. Because daddy would just say, you do what's right. That's all I needed. But now when you're a little kid, don't eat the soap. You know, why does he have to be specific? Because we're not really bright. Don't throw the baseball in the house. See, when you're 20 years old, usually you don't have to be told that. I mean, some of us still do. Numbering of the people. Get through the book of Numbers. Numbering of the people, right there it is. Kadesh Barnea, hold your nose because there's farm animals. Barnea. 12 spies. 12 spies sent out. 10 said no. 2 said go. And because those said no, God left them in the desert. Rebellion of the people right here. You fold arms, rebellion. We're not going, okay, fine. Curse of God. 40 years of wandering. We do like this because you know what? They wandered in circles. God was waiting on this generation that said no to Him to die off, and they finally did. 40 years of wandering. Moses restates the law, and then Moses dies. And then Joshua was a strong guy. Joshua took over and led him into the promised land. All right, Chris, thank you, sir. I put up these, a couple pictures, showed them to you last week. You know, that's Brett's dad. His name's Fred. And somebody caught a fish and just had Brett hold it, I think is what it was. No, I just kidding. Brett loves to fish, and it's a family tradition. There's his brother Craig, and they go fish. And I showed you Chris and our own fishermen right here, Chris and Mark, go. And do I have to tell you to have fun, Chris, when you go fishing? No, obviously not. And so God has brought these guys along, and the closer they get out of this, they finally, we're going to talk to Joshua. Joshua just tries to hit your heart. He tries to say, Just like I don't have to say, Mark, you go have fun fishing. I don't have to tell Mark that. I don't have to tell Chris to go have fun. God wants people to say, what do you want to do? We want to worship you. He wants that tender part. Up until now, he's about having to make them worship. Why? Because a lot of them don't want to. We're going to make you do. Do you really think that, why do you think a drill sergeant comes and yells at your face at 4:30 in the morning in the Marines in the Army? Because most people, I'm up and ready and go. No, they don't. They don't want to get out of bed. So here we go. Finish the book of Joshua. I want you to, good advice for us all to follow. I'm going to go through the book. We've been talking about lots of things here lately, but I'm going to Joshua chapter 9. And this is just good advice. I'm going to hit a couple of chapters as we finish Joshua out. And Joshua chapter 9, Joshua chapter 10, I'm not saying they're all important. They are, of course, they're God's Word. But I want to finish out the book of Joshua, giving you some of my favorite stories, and I could make each of these a message. But would you look in Joshua chapter 9? As you live for God each day, Satan tries to trick you. He tries to tempt you. He tries to make you feel like you're going to, it's okay to do something once. I don't want you to raise your hand, but some of y'all have learned. If somebody's a former alcoholic, I'll just take one drink. Probably famous last words right there. I'll just smoke one cigarette. I haven't smoked in 2 months, 2 years. Susan bravely told me, told me that a couple weeks ago, that she used to smoke, doesn't smoke anymore. But Susan, if you know that, would that be easy to go back to? Yeah. How many cigarettes would take it to get you back to that? One. Makes them want one. Some people say, just a taste. Well, Satan can fool us like that. You won't hurt from this. Go ahead and try this. And yet Proverbs, wise man Solomon wrote in Proverbs, can a man take fire to his bosom? That's his chest. Can a man take fire to himself and not be what? Burned? Like, you're a fool. You can't do this. I won't be like everybody else. Yeah. Joshua chapter 9. These guys are fools. These are solid, on fire people from God. And I've walked you through. They beat Jericho. They took God for granted. They lost to Ai. 36 men were killed. They came back and now they fought Ai again and they beat them all to pieces. But they got rid of the sin in the camp from Achan. So now that they're on track again, you say, okay, they're not. And when these guys mess up, does that encourage you? I hope it does, because some reason we look at heroes that don't have faults and we think, I can't identify them. Well, guess what? They messed up at Ai. They're going to mess up. Here it is in Joshua chapter 9. Now, when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, those in the hill country in the western foothills along the entire coast of the Great Sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to make war against Joshua and Israel. Did you see what they're doing? They see Joshua and his army, God's army. They think nobody can beat these guys, so they want to gang up on them and they're going to defeat them. Well, I got news for you. And there's a small group, people living in Gibeon, and they say, there is no way we can beat these people. So instead, we're going to trick them. Maybe that'll work because we don't stand a chance with them. In today's, I guess, life, that reminds me of how some teams will play another team. They said, there's no way we can beat them unless we what? Cheat. Let's just cheat. There's no way we can beat them honestly. Let's just cheat. Well, these guys are going to cheat. So, long story short on this one, I'm just telling you, don't get fooled by the devil. They resorted to a ruse. They went out. Now, however, when the people of Gibeon heard about what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They sent a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. The men put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. They set it out so it would purposely mold. Then they went to Joshua from the camp of Gilgal. So they show up. Normally, Joshua would have just wiped them out. They said to him, to the men of Israel, we have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us. The men of Israel said to the Hivites, but perhaps you live near us. Wait a minute now. You might be tricking us. You might be our next battle that we're supposed to defeat. How can we make a treaty with you? We're supposed to wipe you out. Oh, no, we are your servants, they said to Joshua. Joshua said, well, who are you and where do you come from? Listen to this answer in verse 9. Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. We have heard reports of him. All that he did in Egypt. See there? They even heard history stuff across the Red Sea and all that. All that he did to the two kings Amorites. All that. And you can read down through here. So it's like, we've heard about you guys. Take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them and say to them, our elders and kings, they want us to come meet you. Say, tell them we're your servants. Make a treaty with us because we don't want to fight you guys. Now they lie, verse 12. This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home and on the day we left to come join you. But now, see how dry and moldy it is? And these wineskins that we filled were new, but see how cracked they are now? And our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey. So they're going to convince them that we are not your next defeat. We are not your next enemy. We've just happened to be in the area and we want to get along with you. Wonder if a devil ever does that. Eve, I'm your friend. Here, go ahead and eat this fruit. No. God just, and devil lies, Eve believes. The devil will do that to us sometimes. This won't hurt you. You don't really have to read and pray and go to church. You can be a solid Christian at the house. That's a lie. You can be just as well. That's a lie. These guys say, we're your friends. That's a lie. I'm going to show you a lesson. I want us to never, don't miss this. Verse 14, the men of Israel sample their provisions. So Joshua's standing there, probably a kimbo. I think that's what you call this. You know, when people do like this, the Superman pose, that's a kimbo. So Joshua's probably standing there like I'm a mighty guy. And they said, well, here, sample this bread. What would you, if the devil says, here, sample this. I want no part of it. Watch this movie. It's really not that bad. Why don't you watch it, and then if it starts getting bad, we'll turn it off. What will we do? We'll keep watching it. There's 12 cuss words, and they've used God's name in vain, and two people jumped into bed so far, but maybe it'll get better. What are you doing? It can't get no worse, I guess, you know. And we do that. I've had people on a mission trip at another church say, yeah, and you know, we do this, and I think it's... And then I happened to see them in a store, and they were looking at R-rated movie. I think, is that really good? And they said, oh, our children even watched it. We just try to fast-forward it through the bad parts. How about this? Just don't even watch the bad part. And, you know, so it's like, so here they're getting suckered is what they are. Now, the men of Israel enjoyed their provisions but did not inquire the Lord. There you go. That's a key verse. The men of Israel sampled their provisions. So they tasted the bread and said, it does taste crusty and moldy. But they did not inquire the Lord. That means they didn't pray. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace. Just now made a mistake. He just now made friends with the enemy. 3 days after they'd made a treaty with the Gibeonites, Israelites heard from their neighbors that these people had lied to them. So they make a treaty with the enemy. They come out with a movie one time, Sleeping with the Enemy. How can you sleep with someone who's your enemy? We take an intimate act and put it with somebody who's an enemy. How do you even do that? It's like, let's have a birthday party with the devil. How can you do that? I don't want to be your friend. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God, the Bible tells us. So you guys got to stay away from him. They made a treaty. They sampled their provisions, and a few days later found out that these guys lied. Now Joshua's men, not being very Christ-like, said, hey, they lied to us. Let's go kill them. That's really sort of what he said. And Joshua said, no, we gave them our word. Now this is really good of Joshua. He says, if we gave them our word, even if they lied to us, what? We won't lie to them. So they ride back into the camp, and I bet you, can you imagine that look on the Gibeonites' face? They found out. And Joshua and them ride into the camp. Joshua gets off, pulls out a gun. walks over to him. He says, you guys aren't strangers from another land. You lied to us. You going to kill us? He said, no, we gave our word not to. We are going to make you be water carriers and woodcutters for us. What do you just now call them? You're going to be slaves to us. Of course, some of these people said, hey, sounds good to me. I'd rather be a live slave than a dead, you know. So it's like, okay. And so these guys, they get my first idea for you. Don't be fooled. The devil's going to offer you something. Oh, this is easy. It's easier if you do it this way. Don't be fooled. And so Joshua 9 ends, verse chapter 10. Now, Adonai, Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it, doing to Ai and its king all he had done to Jericho and its king. He's heard about these guys. If this is a football team, they're undefeated. And that the people of Gibeon had made a treaty of peace with Israel and were living near them. He and his people were very much alarmed at this because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royal cities. It was larger than Ai, and all its men were very good fighters. Of course, they were still scared of Joshua. So Adonai, Zedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to Haran, king of Hebron, Pharam, king of Jarmuth, Jeba, king of, I should have had Janice read it. Janet, you can read all these names. Lachish and Debar, king of Eglon, come up and help me attack Gibeon, because it has been made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. Now, do you remember this a week or so ago that it was Abraham, Lot, took off and did bad things, lived in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham went and rescued his nephew Lot. You remember that? Even though Lot had done him wrong. Well, guess what? Joshua hears about these friends from Gibeon, and he says, five kings are coming to beat us up. Would you help us? What could Joshua have easily have said? You tricked us 2 weeks ago. There's no way I'm going to help you. But guess what? He went to their aid. We're going to come help you out. That's amazing to me. So Joshua does not kill him because he says, I'm going to keep my word, but we'll come rescue you. And he goes down and fights a battle. But this is what's amazing to me. Joshua chapter 10, he goes down to fight the battle, and as he's fighting it, look at verse 9. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. That's what the enemy is. Now, what would you do to those who had tricked you? We'd probably be cruel. Another good life lesson right there. You know, if somebody's been aggravated at me or mad at me, and I'm thinking, I forgive you and keep going, you're Christ-like. If you say, hey, I want to get even, that's not Christ-like. Verse 5, the five kings are Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem. They all jumped on. They're going to attack Gibeon. The Gibeonites sent word to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal, do not abandon your servants. Come up quickly and save us. How fast would you have driven the car to go save them? I wouldn't have done ambulance speed. I'd have been a rickshaw or walking, because if we get there, we get there. If we don't, we don't. Who cares? These guys tricked us. Instead, help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, not taking any chances like Ai, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid of them. I'm giving them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. And after an all-night march, would you march all night to help a former enemy? All-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion. And, of course, see, Joshua and his army are defeating them. Of course, some of them take off and run. Verse 11, as they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Ezgah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky. And more of them died from the hailstones and were killed by the swords. God killed more of them than Joshua did. But it's not true. Here comes miracle time. Are you looking for a miracle? That's what sometimes I got to preach to myself. When I get up in the morning, I said, God, Jenny told me something recently. And she said, it'll take a miracle if this happens. I won't even tell you what it is, but if it happens, I'll tell you. Okay? I'll wait. But Jenny says, this is going to take a miracle for this to happen. I said, okay. That's almost like throwing down a gauntlet to God. God is going to take a miracle. God says, really? Sometimes God puts it like that so when it does happen, we'll know it came from Him. And we won't take credit for it. God, there's no way this is going to happen. And it does. Joshua says, Lord, the people are fleeing. I thought you wanted me to go fight them. And we're running out of daylight. Can I ask you some? God, would you let the sun stand still? I'm asking you your help. Okay. Now, Andy, he tells me this, and I agree with him. God usually does not mess with nature or science. I mean, His miracles are just like, He'll change water to wine. That was sort of like a chemical miracle there. But you could somehow, but God does something right here that's amazing. He stops the sun at high noon. And He leaves it like that for 24 hours so Joshua can pursue the enemy and beat him up and find him. Can you imagine these people fleeing from Joshua and says, let's jump behind these rocks and we're just going to wait until it becomes dark and then we'll be hidden. Should be dark by now. 4 hours later. Okay, it's not good. I can imagine somebody laying out in the sun that day. I'll just lay here for a while. 24 hours later, still high noon. I think I better go in now. Look like an Indian now coming in. It's like, or can imagine lunch hour on that day. I'm going to leave my job. I'll just go eat lunch. Still 12. Love this lunchtime. 24 hours later, it's still high noon. Joshua goes and attacks everybody. And I don't know all this stuff. I would have to do a lot of researching, but I have read this before that they said, you know, as they track back times and the dates and all that, some people say, we've lost 24 hours or something right here. We've gained 24 hours. Where did this fit in? Some people say, right here it is. Here's the day that you can't account for. As it is written, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua turned with all Israel to the camp of Gilgal. And yes, you guessed it, he won that battle. So what life lessons? I'm closing in on these. Here's a life lesson. I don't want to be fooled by the devil. I don't want to buy into his pyramid scheme, or I don't want to buy into his, you know, timeshare. I've been to timeshares before that they were trying to sell me stuff that the buildings weren't even built. Now right here's where the pool's going to be, and right here's where nothing's here. 5 years later, it goes bankrupt, and nothing was ever built. Don't be fooled. God will even do sometimes some amazing things to keep you growing in Him. And if you're on the right track, Joshua was, God can, you'll later say, that had to be God. That had to be a miracle. And finally, Joshua is over here. I'm going to go to the last two chapters in the book. Now, you could pick other life lessons, but here they are. Joshua's dying. I could go to a funeral, and I wouldn't even hardly know the people. I'll probably end up weeping because my heart just breaks when others are hurting. In Joshua chapter 23, Joshua's going to say farewell. Why is he saying farewell? Because he's close to dying. Now, he's brought them through, and there's lots of other stories you can read through this. He had to be a tough leader when Achan died. But now here it is. He's led them through Jericho and Ai. He got them through the Gibeonite deception. He stayed strong, and he didn't go against these enemies. And setting great examples, here's chapter 23. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies and around them. In other words, it's finally, things have quieted down. Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted an inheritance for your tribes, all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will himself drive them out your way. He will push them out before you. You'll take possession of the land as the Lord has, your God has promised you. Here he gives some advice. This sounds very familiar, doesn't it? This is what Moses told him back in about chapter 1. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book and the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with those nations that remain among you. In other words, don't go over to the enemy. Do not evoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. So, verse 12, but if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations, if you intermarry with them, there it is again, sleeping with the enemy, if you associate with them, God's not going to bless you because, see, you're going in with the enemy. Verse 14, so now I'm about to go to the way of all the earth. I'm going to die. You know. Final charge. So Joshua says goodbye to them. Do you think anybody's crying while he's talking? Oh, absolutely. We've lost Moses, now we're going to lose Joshua. And this is sort of like a mama bird doing what with her young? Pushing them out of the nest. This is Joshua saying, it took Moses' determination to fight for you, and I took over, and now I'm going to die. Well, who's going to be our leader now? Guess what? You're the teen that's now going to college. You're the young adult that's out there on your own and going, I know I can run back to mom and dad, but basically I'm on my own. Well, guys, you're on your own. Really? Yep. We get manna? Nope. Just start working for a living. Manna stopped when they crossed the Jordan River. So Joshua now says, he reads through, and I won't do that to you, but he goes back and gives you a history lesson. He goes back and says, now remember Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Oh, yeah. He walks them through. That's called a heritage. Chapter 24, verse 5. I sent Moses and Aaron. I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out when I thought your fathers, when I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea. The Egyptians pursued you. See what he's doing? He's taking the family album and leafing through the pages. Here's a picture of Moses raising the staff and to see, oh, wow. Now, those who lived it like it, but the young people are going, wow, Grandpa, you crossed the river? Yeah. God was there? Yeah. Take out your picture album and your kids will be amazed. They cried out to the Lord for help, and God helped them cross the Red Sea. And he just keeps, and he said, then we fought through all those people, the Pezorites, Hittites, and all the others. And then he finally gives a verse that should be on the wall of every house in America. Verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all your faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, God's not going to twist your arm up behind you and make you walk with him. If you don't want to walk, go on. I sure hope you decide to walk with him. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then here it is. Choose for you yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, here you go. Y'all have heard this before. We will serve the Lord. What's it going to be? He's saying this to them. I guarantee they're convicted. So what could I say today that would be similar to this? I could say, and I could go around and name everybody, but I could say, Karen, Becky, Mark, I could just go around individual. Rhonda, I could say, Angela, here. You remember how you used to be before God? And you'd go, you want to go back to that? Oh, there's no way. Well, then choose you this day whom you'll serve. Now, if you want to go back, live the way you used to without God, it's up to you. But as for me and my house, what? We're going to serve the Lord. That's quite a challenge right there. Greg Ottman said this, and the guy that, you know, my friend who made up the F&F, he was sitting down at Roanoke Valley Christian Schools one day. And Greg and I are both, we were struggling a little bit that year. We just felt like the kids were coming not to necessarily to a Christian school. Some of them were just coming to a private school. Some of them weren't in love with the Lord. They were just showing up. You say, at a Christian school? Oh, yeah. In all fairness to them, where do you think Satan attacks the most? So Satan never bothers me when I'm at the bar. Why? He's already got you. You know, I'm in a jail cell. Seems like police haven't got to me for a while. You're in jail. Satan's not going to bother you at the bar. But go out and do something for God and see if he doesn't come after you. So here, we're in a Christian school. And Greg, and I admire Greg. Greg got up Sunday night. He wouldn't even want me to brag on him, but I do. Boy, I'm sitting. I preach like I'm on the fishing, you know, on the side of the riverbank. Greg's more the intellectual to me. I admire him. We compliment each other. I go to camps, and I just fly by the seat of my pants. I've got some things, and I just read what the teens are going through, and it's worked for 35 years. So God just seemed to, he said, do what you do, because I've made you this way. Greg will show up with a printed booklet and have everything aligned. So he stood up on Sunday night one night down there at Shenandoah, and he began saying the first few verses of James. And something like, you know, when he got over, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials and temptations. And he kept going. And I thought, does anybody else notice this? He quoted the entire book of James for his message, all five chapters. I was going, wow. Hearing comes by, or faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the what? Word of God. He just now quoted five chapters of the Word of God. I went, wow. And you say, do you know that many verses? I mean, I don't either, but I'm just, how convicting is that? So Greg's solid. This is the man that thought the F and F. This is, Greg's on fire. He's the one that got me into speaking at camps. I still do it 35 years later. So Greg about broke his ankle one summer and said, I've sent him your name, so they're going to call you. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And I just show up in St. Louis, Missouri and Greencastle, Pennsylvania, and the next, you know, Buffalo Gap or Cumberland Gap in Maryland. And the next thing I know, I've been in about five or six states speaking, and some of them actually invite me back. But anyway, I go. And so I think, man, Greg, you're the tops. No, Edgar, you. I mean, we're great. We just feel like God's using us. And Greg stands up in Bible one day. He just is a little bit defeated, and he just said, these guys don't seem like they're listening. So he said he tried sort of like an experiment. So Becky, here's what he said. He stood up on that day in class and he said, if y'all don't want to hear me teach you Bible, just go to the library. Guess what? All but about three or four did. They got up and left. You're walking away from a Billy Graham to me. I mean, Greg's. So it'd be like today. If y'all don't really want to be at Life Point, going out the door and everybody gets up and leaves. I'd be discouraged, wouldn't you? Greg left about the next year or so. And I'm thinking, man, we're talking about a Christian school. They don't even want to be here. So that's Joshua saying, if you don't want to be here, go home. Because God would rather have few, four or five that he can count on than a bunch of people living a lie. What if you did that today at Baptist? Do you think anybody would get up and walk out? Or Shenandoah or wherever. If you don't want to be here, go. I bet you, I'm gone. Mama made me come today. I am out of here. Go to Long Johnson and say, if anybody doesn't really want to work today, go. Is that the Christian thing, anybody leave your workplace? You'd hear the black marks leaving with the cars. I mean, going to Salem, does anybody not really? I had students that came on a Monday and a Thursday. I don't know what your schedule was for at the first of the year. They were Monday, Thursday, Tuesday, Friday. They're only coming 2 days a week. And so 1 week we got Friday off for whatever it was. The guys on Monday and Thursday complained, how come we didn't get no day off? I told them, I said, y'all only coming 2 days a week now. Yeah, but they got it off and we didn't. So what was their heart right there? Somebody got something that they didn't. We don't like that. You're coming 2 days a week and you're griping. Man, this coming fall. Whew. Wait until we're coming back full 1,200 people at Salem, not just 12 or 15 in a class. I had four people in a class for a long time. Two were absent one day. I thought, well, I was talking to myself. I got two people in the whole classroom. And then it built back up. Now, I ended up at the end of the year because they kept adding them back in. But the bottom line, you're going to have 1,200 full force 5 days a week. You think anybody's going to gripe? Oh, yeah, I bet your referrals will just go through the roof. So everybody's going to bring back the problems that we haven't seen for the last year. This is one of the easiest years I've ever had. People gripe. I thought it was a pie job. I'd love to teach four kids every day. I got to know everybody, you know. Help get people in the army. I mean, it's like, so Joshua says, here, what's it going to be? I bet you some people are going, they're looking at you, what are you going to do, Mark? I don't know, what are you going to do? I want to leave, but I'm afraid. And Joshua says, what's it going to be? And then he gives this line. I don't care what you do, but I know what I'm going to do. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Then the people answered, verse 16, oh, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our forefathers up out of Egypt and that land of slavery and performed these great signs before our eyes. He's protected us in our entire journey and among all the nations in which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Now, you got to be real careful this. If Joshua's a pastor right here, and he is, he's a leader, he's sort of a pastor, he doesn't just quickly say, oh, great, we all agree, let's shake hands. No, he says, are you sure? I mean, if somebody comes up to me and says, I'd like to be saved. Great. Lord, help this person be saved. Amen. Don't do that to them. They don't even know what they just did. Now, are you sure? Yeah. You're willing to quit living with your girlfriend and quit getting drunk every Friday and getting in fights with the boss? You quit? Well, I didn't know I had to do all that. Yeah. See, you don't really want to get... Do you want a lifestyle change? Joshua says that to them. They said, we're ready. We're going to serve God. Verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. Are you sure? He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he's been good to you. Are you sure you want to serve him? Verse 21, but the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. This is it. Joshua said, okay, your witness is against yourself that you've been chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you. I didn't know he knew about those. Yeah, throw away those foreign gods if you mean business with God. Yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. And on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people there at Shechem. He drew up for them decrees and laws, and Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone, set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Verse 28, and then Joshua sent the people away, each to his own inheritance. And after these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him and who experienced everything the Lord had done for him. In other words, all the people had heard him and had seen things great. Joseph's bones, which Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the tract of land that Jacob bought with 100 pieces of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. And Eleazar, son of Aaron, died and was buried at Gibeah, which had been allotted to his son Phinehas in the hill country of Ephraim. So everything's great. So you say, is that a happy ending? Well, it is until you read the book of Judges. Because when the cat's away, all the leaders are gone now. And they say, well, who's going to lead us now? Joshua's gone. Why don't you just lead yourself? Why don't you just be faithful to God? And they said, well, I don't know. We don't. And some judges rose up to lead them that weren't very godly. But how about us? Consider these things right here. You ready? Here's the quick. There's a man named P.T. Barnum, member of Phinehas. He got tricked by his own dad and grandpa. Don't be like that. Don't be like the Gibeons, like the Israelites who fell to the Gibeonites. They got tricked just like P.T. Barnum liked to trick people. That's called the Gibeonite deception. Don't be fooled by Satan. Don't be led astray. God can actually do some miracles if he wants to show you how mighty he is. And I can tell you things, and I won't get into that. I'll let you go today, but maybe I should just have a day of miracles. I can tell you that there could be no other way it would have happened unless God would have intervened. I've seen that with my own life. Therefore, he tells me in verse 23, a key verse, therefore be strong and to keep to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. He gives them a final challenge, and he says farewell. And then, this is it. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourself. Hey, what is it? Right here. Choose whom you'll serve. Were the gods that we've went through already, those idols and things that cropped up along the way? It's either the real and living God or the fake false gods. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God, and that's just it. So he leaves them a big old challenge. So I don't know about you. That steps on my toes. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, as we close out your word, it speaks powerful. You tell us in Hebrews it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So Lord, it just cuts right to us. Help us not be fooled by Satan. Help us to know that you'll even do miracles sometimes. And if we're looking for him, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, James tells us. We'll see things happen. We'll see people raised back up. Like we prayed for Perry, he's back with us today. I want to be like those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to believe that you'll save us. But Lord, even if you chose to do something we don't like, may we be found faithful anyway. And finally, Jesus, Joshua gave him a choice. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Same thing we do every day of our lives. Are we going to live for Satan, follow the world? Or are we going to pray and we're going to lean hard into you? So, Lord, give us encouragement today to lean into you. Forgive us of all our sins and shortcomings. We're sorry. I'm glad we got a God that is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how many times will you do that? The Bible doesn't give a limit. Should we sin? Of course not. But if we do, help us not buy into the lie the devil tries to sell. So God doesn't listen to you anymore. God, you always are listening. The Bible says your arm is not too short that you can't reach us. Your ear is not too dull that you can't hear our prayers. And Lord, your eyes roam this earth looking for those that want to serve you. So Jesus, we love you. I thank you that you came to seek and to save those who are lost, and I was certainly that. I'm thankful that you saved me and set me free from who I used to be. And Lord, although I'm not anywhere near you yet, not perfect at all as you were, Lord, it's a goal we all should shoot for. So please help me to do that today. And I pray that we've encouraged one another by seeing one another here today and didn't forsake the assembling and the gathering together as the manner of some is. But all the day of your return as it approaches, may we be found more faithful. So, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you that prayers are answered. Help us to continue to pray, and Lord, help us to choose today whom we'll serve, and may that be you, in Jesus' name. Amen.